A big thanks to the producers of this week's episode: Danielle Newhouse, Kate Ohala, Ginger Cornejo, and Michael DeLima, who are all keeping the fire going on patreon.com/nightmaresociety at our members-only campfire, where we've got bonus content, early access, and ad-free episodes, as well as other creepy things. I also wanted to say hello to a few people: Adam Walker 99, Kate Sarah 23, Dab and Weld, Billy the Goat 88, and Teresa Walker 0. Thanks for reaching out, guys. Hope you enjoy the episode. And last, but certainly not least, as this episode would not be possible, a huge thanks goes to user Faceless Writer, user Lioness the Druid, and user Slytherin Ari. Thank you for sharing your story with us. I picked these stories specifically because several of you have told me you primarily listen while driving, so I thought these might be extra creepy for those of you driving and listening. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
This particular event happened almost a year ago, sometime in mid-October. A couple of friends and I drove out to visit an old friend of ours from high school, George, who now lived about an hour outside of the city. We spent the whole day with him, and it was really late when we finally decided to start the drive back home. My friend Lisa was passed out in the passenger seat. She had a few drinks and decided to spend the ride home asleep. My other friend Sam was sitting in the back seat behind Lisa and was playing a game on her smartphone. I, of course, was driving. I was following the GPS's instructions back to the freeway. At that moment, we were driving down a dark street with thick trees bordering both sides. Everything was pretty peaceful, with the only sounds I could hear being that of the car moving along the road and the radio on low volume. Suddenly, my car let out a loud jolt, and it felt as if I had hit something. Sam let out a shocked scream while Lisa remained dead asleep. I slammed on the brakes, and the car came to a halt. I was breathing heavily when I asked what the heck had just happened. Sam peered through the back window and gasped. She turned to me with an angry look on her face and shouted that I had just hit a dog. I looked through the back window and, sure enough, a dog was lying in the road a few yards behind the car. Sam is a pretty big animal lover, so I wasn't surprised to see her get mad at me. She was about to open her door and rush to the animal's aid when I stopped her. Once I had gotten over the shock of running over a dog, I got a feeling in my gut that told me something was off. I'm no braggart, but I consider myself to be very attentive and a very safe driver. My eyes were on the road at all times, and I distinctly remember not seeing a dog in the road prior to the car jolting. Yes, it was dark, but I was sure that I would have at least seen the dog in the headlights before hitting it. I looked through the back window and took a closer look at the dog, or at least as much as I could make out in the reddish light coming from my taillights. It was a fairly big dog, at least a golden retriever or something like that. One particular detail caught my attention. I could see the dog's tail wagging. Now, I'm no expert on the mannerisms of animals, but I was sure the last thing a dog would do after being hit by a car would be to wag its tail. After a moment of thought, I pressed my foot down on the accelerator and sped off. Sam snapped at me and ordered me to go back, but I told her that something was wrong with the whole situation. She continued to argue, but she fell silent as she turned back towards the back window. She asked,
"What the heck?"
with a shaken voice. I looked in the rearview mirror. Though it was dark, I was able to make out the silhouettes of three large figures emerging from the trees on the side of the road. The dog was now up on its feet and jumping around joyfully. The three figures looked in our direction as I pressed my foot down on the gas harder and sped off. Sam and I remained silent for the rest of the ride home. It wasn't until a few days later that we told Lisa about it. We've been back to visit George a few times since then, but we always make sure to leave before sunset. Still, I dread to think about what would have happened if we had gotten out of the car. This story happened slightly over 20 years ago, back when I was 16. During this time, I lived with my mom and stepdad in a remote area 70 miles west of Las Vegas, Nevada. I had gone out to visit with my friends, being allowed to drive myself for the first time ever. I had a lovely time watching a movie and getting food together, until it was time for me to head home. The curfew I was given was 10 p.m., with the caveat that if I was running late for any reason, to find a payphone and call. The night wrapped around me in my old 1971 Chevy pickup, as there were no street lights or houses for most of the way home. As I pulled up to the first of two stop signs, I could see an older sedan. Old cars are still pretty common in that area. Stopped with its hazards on. I pulled up behind it and waited as a man in his 30s to 40s started walking towards me from the driver's side. Even at this point, I didn't have any alarm bells going off. Being in the middle of the Mojave Desert, providing assistance to a stranded person was common. People rapidly get into severe problems there by not having enough water when a vehicle breaks down, or not realizing that it's a freaking desert and people die wandering delirious away from the highway trying to find help. Anyhow, I rolled down my window, and as he came abreast of my door, I could smell the liquor on him. I could see another man in the passenger seat, as this was before anyone I knew had cell phones and the nearest payphone was a good 10 minutes drive ahead. I didn't have a way to call the cops on a drunk driver immediately. The man explained that his car stalled and asked if I could help them out. I asked if his car was a stick shift, which it was, so I asked if he was familiar with push starting it. He said yes, so I agreed to, as gently as I could, push their car with my truck while they turned the engine over. For anyone that isn't familiar, this is a way to start a manual car that is having battery or starter issues, specifically to get it somewhere to work on it. I knew my truck would be fine, and I didn't feel like it would be wise to get out and try to push the car physically. Push starting the car worked without a hitch, but here's where things go south. They get back out and thank me. They invite me to hang out and have some fun with them. I decline. They pull off to the side of the road and I continue on my way, only they start following me. So here I am. It's 9:50. I'm running late because I stopped to help them. Admittedly, I hadn't given myself much leeway from leaving my friends. These drunk, creepy, older guys have started to follow me on a road without any man-made light, except for car headlights. and I'm at least 10 minutes away from a payphone. I think to myself, maybe I'm being paranoid. So I turn down a road that I know gave me a couple of turnoffs to either head back to town or loop around to the gas station with a payphone. The car follows behind me. I'm thinking, crap. I take another turn that only leads to a couple of houses at the end of the road, and they turn behind me. I take another turn to loop around back to the gas station, and they followed me once again. So at least I know they are actually following me, and not just heading home. At this point, my heart is pounding. I decided to try something to lose them. I pull to the side of the road. I see them pull up behind me. I wait as the driver gets out of the car and begins walking towards me. His companion also gets out and starts walking towards me. I wait until they almost get to my tailgate, and then I floor it. My wheels dig into the rocks and poof dirt, causing a cloud behind me. Now, with a lead, I head towards the gas station. The gas station is deserted, but the payphone is showered in the light from the gas pumps. I hurry over and call home and explain what happened and why I was running late. My stepdad asked if the gas station worker could be seen, and I let him know I couldn't see him behind the counter. He was probably in the back. I wasn't in trouble, but I was asked to hurry home immediately. So, to the two drunk idiots that had ill intentions with 16-year-old me on my first night of driving by myself, let's not meet again. This happened last year, and it still gives me the creeps thinking about it. I was leaving work and was on my way to a friend's house. My work is on the literal edge of town. It's pretty rural and gets really dead at night. My friends live even further away from my work, in where I guess you'd consider to be the country area, and the road gets more and more desolate the closer you get to their house. I clocked out of work and went to my car and called my friend to talk to her on the phone about something while I drove out to her and her boyfriend's house. I looked both ways before I exited the parking lot, but there was absolutely nobody else on the road that I could see, which was a pretty good distance. I made it a mile or so down the road when I see headlights behind me and coming up really fast. It was a full-size pickup truck that had been lifted, and he got so close to my car that all I could see out my back window was the Chevy badge on his grill. I thought he wanted to pass me, so I waved out the window for him to pass using the suicide lane, since the road was only two lanes there. Instead, he started laying on his horn. Mind you, I'm not a slowpoke driver. I was already doing 55 in a 45, so it's not like I was inconveniencing him with my speed. I tell my friend what's happening and she tells me just to keep going, and that he'll probably leave me alone eventually. He stays glued behind me for another mile or so, occasionally honking some more. Eventually, he started turning his brights on for a few seconds, and then he started slowing down until we were a couple of hundred feet apart, and then he would floor it to fly up behind me really fast, like he was feigning rear-ending me. I'm getting more sketched out at this point, and my friend is trying to calm me down and telling me to just keep driving. At this point, I'm really scared that he's going to hit me, and I wanted to get away. But there were no businesses open that late this far out of the city. In fact, there wasn't really any places to be open anymore at all. Just fields and some houses every now and then. I decided to floor it and try to outrun him. figuring my Corolla might not be a Formula One car, but surely it's a heck of a lot quicker than an old pickup truck, and I thought I could get some distance. I got up to 85 and kept an eye on him, and he didn't seem to be trying to catch up. I felt a little safer and assumed he'd given up. So I dropped back down to 60 and informed my friend that it worked and he was done. I still had tunnel vision from the adrenaline and I didn't realize he was flying up behind me again until he was barreling down towards me doing probably 85 or 90. I realized he wasn't slowing down, so I braced myself for the impact and told my friend he was about to rear-end me. Instead, he cut around me, missing my car by inches, and flew around in front of me. The next part was my fault. I instinctively turned on my blinker, which let him know I was about to turn onto the road, so he immediately whipped up the curb to cut in front of me again. My friend's house is on a corner, so her and her boyfriend were able to see everything now, but I had a bit of a ways to go before I got into her driveway. The truck stayed put in the middle of the road this time, and he wasn't moving, so I tried to go around him. As soon as I started to pass him, he floored it and cut to the left, nearly hitting my front end and blocking the road completely. I was feeling braver now that I knew help was on the way and my friends were there. So I laid on my horn, yelled some choice words, and told him to move his out of the way. My friend and her boyfriend had gotten to the edge of the property where we were by then, and I guess the driver took notice of them, and they started slowly moving out of my way. I pulled into her driveway as fast as I could and looked out the rearview mirror to see him slowly driving up to her driveway where he stopped. I couldn't see his facial features because it was so dark, and he was kind of far away, but I could tell he was staring at me the whole time. My friends had gotten to the car just as he had gotten to the driveway, and I watched my friend approach the truck. I heard her tell him, "You need to leave now. The cops are on their way." And they stared at each other for a few seconds before he slowly continued on. Her neighborhood is a giant loop and he never exited, so we felt adventurous and sneaked out around the block in search of where he went while we waited on the cops. We found the truck parked at a house and returned just as the police arrived. We told the cops where the truck was and the officer returned informing us that there was no answer at the door, and he left. Her boyfriend, who had lived there for forever, nor his mother, recognized the truck or the man, and if I recall, his mother even knew the people who lived at the house the truck was parked at. And as far as I'm aware of, he was not seen again. Because I'm a very small female who was alone at almost midnight, we all assume he watched me leave work and was trying to bully me into wrecking my car so I would pull over and he could abduct me. We think once he realized the cops were involved, he parked the truck in someone's otherwise empty driveway and likely left it there to hide in a nearby field until the cops left the area. Again, thank you to our contributors for sharing their stories with us. Don't forget to send your true horror stories to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com. And check me out on my social media linked in the description, as well as our members-only campfire on patreon.com/nightmaresociety. Until next time, stay safe and...
sweet dreams.